Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," he said, "here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you, that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I went one verse over. When you look at the history of Israel throughout the Old Testament, there are certain names that pop up as being wonderful leaders within Israel's history. You got David, who's basically the quintessential king, the ideal of what all kings are supposed to be. You have Abraham, who started it all, who heard from God in order to, as God told him, to move out of the land which he known to an unknown land. So he did that. You got your prophets. You got Isaiah. You got Elijah and Elisha. You got Jeremiah. You got these great figures. And the one that usually stands above them all is Moses. Moses was a figure who was seen as one of the greatest of all prophets, who spoke to God, not just hearing God's voice, but seeing God almost face to face. God revealed himself to him, to Moses, by showing Moses his back. Then we got Moses, whose face shone with countenance, because he was within the presence of God so often that his face lit up because of God's right righteousness that was exposed to Moses. Moses, who at a time changed God's mind. God wanted to have nothing to do with Israel and wipe that, not wipe them, but have a new people from the line of Moses. But Moses changed his mind and said, "No, this wouldn't be a good idea." And God said, "All right, I hear you. I'll do it." And all this. But Moses had a rough beginning. As many of you know, Moses started, as a baby, as most of us do. And in the time that he was born, there was a decree out by Pharaoh that all the male children should be killed. So Moses' mother hid him for as long as she possibly could. When she couldn't any longer, she had a plan. Plan was, she made a basket of reeds, put Moses in it, and floated him where she knew that the Pharaoh's sister of the time was bathing. And she must have been of a character that people trusted and liked. And so she took her chances. The Pharaoh's sister recognized the Hebrew baby right away, knew that the baby was doomed to destruction because of her brother, had a heart to take care of him and raise him as her own with the help, unbeknownst to her, from Moses' own mother, with the help of Moses' sister. So all wonderful clandestine kind of things going on, like spy stuff, you know. And so it's all, you know, God's doing all this and it's all great. But Moses is raised not knowing his heritage. I'm sure his mother did what she could, teaching him the history and things like this, but could not tell him that he was indeed Hebrew born. He grew up his life being part of the Egyptian royal family, knowing this as his origin, or thinking this as his origin. And then finally, at some point in his life, he must have found out that he was actually born a slave, and this was, the slaves were his people. But he was still part of the Egyptian royal family. So one day, as maybe through curiosity, he went down to the site where the slaves were working, and he saw an Egyptian master beat one of the slaves. Moses took his origin seriously. He saw the power that he had being part of the Egyptian family, and he thought, hey, I could help. I'm in a unique position to help these people. Maybe I can free them, or at least bring them justice. And so the first Batman was born. The first Superman, the first vigilante, the first hero. At least he tried. In the middle of the night when he thought no one was looking, or in the middle of the day when he thought no one was looking, he took the Egyptian slave master and he killed him. And then he buried him in the sand. Vigilante action, if I've ever heard of one. The next day, as he was walking, maybe strutting a little bit, because, hey, I can help these people now, Two of the slaves were arguing, and Moses went over in his vigilante, you know, hero kind of attitude and told them to stop. Stop arguing. Your slaves work together. And then, much to Moses' surprise, they answered him by saying, what, are you going to kill one of us now like you did that Egyptian? He was shocked that someone had found out. In fact, it went all the way up, and Pharaoh himself found out and sent out his guards in order to find Moses. Well, Moses fled. He fled to the land of Midian, thinking probably to himself, well, that's it. I tried, I failed. Now live a nice, quiet life by myself with my wife and my kids, and I tried. And then what we read today changed all that again. Moses gets a second chance. Moses wanted to free the slaves at the beginning. He wanted to help them. And now God is giving him the perfect opportunity to say, all right, go back to Pharaoh, talk to him about freeing my people, talk to the people, and you're going to get a second shot. That would be great news to some people, but to Moses, he tried everything he possibly could to weasel out of it. Do you remember reading this scripture? First he says, I don't know who you are. We read this already. And God said, tell them I am, I am. And then he goes on to say, God says, they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of Hebrews, has met with us. Let us go away 3 days on our journey so we can sacrifice our Lord. I now know, however, that he won't do this. And then Moses keeps saying, Moses answered, but suppose they do not listen to me or believe me. And they say, the Lord did not appear to you. And then the Lord said, what is that in your hand? And he says, it's a staff. And he threw it on, and he said, throw it on the ground. So he did, and he turned it into a snake. And Moses was afraid of it. Reach out your hand and seize it by the tail. So he did, and it turned into a staff again. So that they may believe that the Lord is God, you'll show them this. And then again, the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. And he did. And when he pulled it out, it was leprous. It looked white as snow. Put your hand back in. And he did. And he pulled it out. And it was clear again. If they don't believe the first sign, maybe they'll heed the second sign. But Moses then said to the Lord, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor even now that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who gives speech to mortals? Who makes a mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what to speak. And then Moses says, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, what of your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he can speak fluently. Even now he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, his heart will be glad. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you should do. So he takes the staff in hand, and then he goes with his brother Aaron. One of the things that's probably the most frustrating about the God that we serve is that he takes away our excuses. Lord, I can't do this. Not able to do this, not fit to do this, I'm afraid to do this. And then God says, I'll help you. I'll be with you. I'll give you the words you have to say. Paul himself didn't think himself was eloquent of speech or of language. And look at the influence that he had in the New Testament all the way up to today. There are times where God is calling us to do things that we know that we should be doing, but we think we can't for one reason or another. We think that we're not good enough. We think that we're not eloquent enough. Look at me. Now, I am almost as shy as they come. I love hanging out by myself, my house. Is my sanctuary. It's my safe place. And God blessed me with a wife who loves having people in that house. And I thank God for that. It stretched me. It's made me who I thought I couldn't be. It's helped me to be comfortable around more people. Through the help and the strength of God, I've been able to learn to talk to other people, strangers, about things I never thought I could talk to them about. Look at me. I suffer with depression in my life. I am diagnosed with a thing called dysthymia, which is a low-grade depression. And I have my ups and downs. It gets worse. I'm in a tough spot right now. But God still uses me. Uses me to show joy, to show happiness, to show gladness. To show strength and to show peace where sometimes I don't feel it. Because God takes away our excuses. When we say we can't, God says, I know, but I can. And I can through you. Moses felt like he couldn't. But look at what Moses did. Because he stepped out with the help of God. It may not always look the way that we think it should look. It may not always go smoothly. The Lord knows it didn't go smoothly for Moses. He had headache after headache after headache, but it was still successful. God uses the most unlikely people to do amazing things. Sometimes amazingly big things, sometimes amazingly small things, but still wonderful things that help to share the love of Christ in so many unexpected ways. So my prayer is that when we catch ourselves saying, I can't, I won't, I couldn't, that we listen to God speaking to our hearts and saying, I know, but I can through you with the help of Jesus Christ, and letting God do it. And it may not turn out exactly how we thought it should, but it'll show love. And we can let Christ deal with that love. We thank God for that.